have to know the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, to just declare, I don't know, but I was this way one day, and now I'm this way. I was all kinds of messed up without peace in my life until Jesus came, and now I got peace in my heart. Does anybody, you know what I'm talking about tonight? Listen, you don't have to know all the scriptures to go witness to somebody for you just to say, JR, I don't know all the answers, the ins and outs of all kinds of things in the scriptures, but I do know this. I felt dead inside until Jesus came in, and now I'm a whole new person, and like I have hope in my life. And that's the blind man and his testimony. Listen, guys, just tell your story. If Jesus has done something miraculous in your life, just tell your story. Just say, I don't know. I don't know, but there's something to this Jesus. Man, I've never felt so much love and compassion in my life. And there's community of believers that I've been brought and welcomed into. Like, there's just something about them. I don't know about predestination, okay? I don't know about the return of Christ and when that's going to happen. And I don't know about the 666 and the mark of the beast. Or it, you know, I just know that I was once blind and now I can see. And that was his testimony. Revelation 12:11, and they have overcome, conquered him. They have overcome or they've conquered him by means of the blood of the Lamb and by the utterance of their testimony. We're more than conquerors by the blood of the Lamb and what? The word of our testimonies. Look at your neighbor and just say, tell your story. Tell your story. For they did not love and cling to life even when faced with death, holding their lives cheap until they had to die for their witnessing. Number four, Matthew's interpersonal approach. Matthew's interpersonal approach. After accepting the call to follow Jesus, Matthew, the tax collector, did whatever he could to show people the way to Jesus. Again, another controversial moment where Jesus is over witnessing to, I don't know, sinners, you know, like involving himself in the life of sinners, of dead people, you know. And here he comes across a guy named Matthew. He was a tax collector, which was absolutely like one of the most hideous professions. They steal from you, they rob you. They accuse you. You don't want nothing to do with these tax collectors. And yet Jesus is here with Matthew and like speaks to him, like gives him the time of day. And then all of a sudden Matthew's like, hey, Jesus, why don't you come over to my house? Like, I'm going to invite some friends over for a barbecue. You know, we got some drinks in the fridge. I'd love to have you come over. And so Jesus like shows up. You know, and then the Pharisees come up behind him and say, Jesus, what are you doing hanging around tax collectors? Don't you know who these people are? And I almost hear Jesus saying, yeah, don't you? You know what their names are? You know, and there's that moment where Jesus walks into this house and he's spending time with them. And I love this scripture. He says, listen, I didn't come to minister and to help those who don't need help. Like the healthy, they don't need a doctor, but the sick do. So I've come to help those that are sick. The interpersonal approach. Matthew relied on the relationship that he had built with these men, those companions. Guys, this is why it's so important. Like, know your neighbors, okay? Like, know the people that you work with. I'm not saying get involved in the ways of their life that you know are not right, but like know them. Like know what's going on in their lives. Like be able to come in and, like Matthew, and just be a part of what's going on with their lives. He cared about people through relationships. Therefore, he used relationships to share the gospel. One of my favorite approaches, let's just know people, man. Let's not be afraid to get to know people. And God's going to help us in that relationship. Number five, the Samaritan woman's invitational approach. In John chapter 4, Jesus introduced the Samaritan woman to salvation at a well, and it changed her life forever. It touched her life so much that she went back to the town and began telling people about what Jesus said to her and began taking people with her to show them Jesus. Jesus walks by this well. There's a Samaritan woman sitting there. I can't go into the story. It's such a great story. But he can't be there, and she can't be there, and they can't be there together. And she's out there in the middle of the day fetching water, which is a problem because most of the women would go in the morning to go get water because it's cool of the day, which means she didn't want to go with the other women, which means she was already outcast from the rest of her crew. So she's out there all by herself at the well. fetching water in the middle of the day when it's hot. And so Jesus comes up. Men and women aren't supposed to be standing there together. Jesus isn't concerned about what other people are saying about him. He's concerned about the woman that's there by herself at the well. And you guys know, you may know the story. If you don't, you can look it up in John chapter 4. But he begins to tell her story. Like, you've been married multiple times. And the guy that you're with right now, you're not even married to. Like, he totally reads her mail. She asks for, hey, you know, he's like, can you give me some water out of that well? And they have this whole conversation about him being the living water. And if you would just ask me for a drink, I would give you, and you would never thirst again. And she's like, hey, I'd love to have that water, because that means I don't have to come out here in the middle of the day and get water all by myself. And Jesus said, if you would just ask me, I would give you rivers of living water. And she says, well, someday the Messiah is going to come, and he's going to make that all clear. And he says, I am that Messiah. And she runs off, and she goes, and she says, hey, you guys have got to come and see a man who told me all the things I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? The invitational approach. The invitational approach. Guys, just inviting somebody. Just inviting somebody. You know? Many people would, George Barna's research shows that 25% of adults in the United States would come to church if somebody would just invite them. You know? Well, I don't know. What if they say no? What if they say no? You know? Who cares? What if they say no? Well, you ask them again. Ask them again. Ask them again. Ask them again. Ask them until they say yes. But what if they said yes? And what if they came? And what if they were a part of a service where an altar call was given and they gave their life to Jesus and it changed everything for them? And they went back to work and they said, I don't know about this Jesus, but last week, guys, I was depressed out of my mind. And this week, man, the sun is shining in my life. And that all happened because you invited him to church. Send an invitation. Be the Samaritan woman that just says, guys, man, I want you to come and meet this Jesus who has read my mail, who knows everything about me, and yet he still loves me. Isn't that amazing? He still loves me. Okay, number 6. Dorcas service approach. Dorcas. What a name. Dorcas. Come on. Acts chapter 9, verse 36 states that Dorcas went around doing good and helping the poor. She was known as a servant. And this style of evangelism is serving people so that they come to know Christ. This type of approach will teach you how to have a servant's heart. We have several opportunities throughout outreach ministry to get involved in serving people in need. Serving. Dorcas was a servant. She served. She's known as serving. In fact, if you go to the story in Acts chapter 9, I don't want to take time to read it all, but Acts chapter 9, you see Dorcas. She's serving. She's got people around her. She's known as a servant. She gets sick and she dies. So sometimes if you serve, you may die. I'm just saying. It's possible. Serving could equal death for you. The good news is she came back to life, so it may also be resurrected from the dead. But here's Dorcas, and like that's her story. Like, and they wept over her, and there was a testimony about this was a woman who served. Does anybody, you know somebody that, man, they just have a servant's heart. They just serve, and it just oozes out of them. They just know how to serve. Like, that's just part of who they are. And that's a huge witness for Christ, isn't it? It's a huge witness for Jesus. Okay, you've got in the back of your book, an Appendix G. Your appendix, where is your appendix? Any doctors? Is it on your, huh? I always feel like my appendix, like if you get an ache there. Oh, is it lower? What does your appendix do? Does anybody know? Okay, Appendix G is in the back. You're going to take a few moments and you're going to fill out this evangelism quiz. Now, it's really simple. You're going to walk through those those comments, and you're gonna put a zero, like that's not me at all the way to three, yeah, that's me. You're gonna walk down that whole list. You're gonna read those comments. Music's gonna be playing in the background. Is that right? To motivate you to get through that. And then at the end, you're gonna go turn. Everybody, turn over to that next page real quick. I want you to see what you're doing. You're gonna, okay. You see on that next page, you've got the different numbers. Okay, some of you are going to, you're going to do one after the other, you're going to flip back and forth. I wouldn't suggest that. Just go right on down through that front page, and then you're going to transfer those numbers to the back. You're going to add those numbers up, and it's going to show you and tell you, hey, this is probably like in line with your evangelism style. I did it before we came to class tonight. Very, very close. I'll share my evangelism style with you in just a moment. We'll see you in, what do you need, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, Taylor? Let's do 5 minutes. Can we get it done in 5 minutes? Ready, set, go. Okay, anybody surprised at your results? Anybody like, how many of you guys look at it and you're like, yeah, that's me. I see that. Okay, raise your hand if you're surprised by it. Like, you're like, man, that's weird. I didn't know that one. Okay. Well, I told you I would share my results. Okay, so I had, I had a tie. A one-way, a two-way tie for testimonial and interpersonal. So sharing my faith and relational, just like getting to know people. And then I had a close second in serving. And my least one was is a tie invitational, like inviting people to events and stuff. And I guess I don't invite people to church. Or confrontational, I don't know anybody that's ever been argued into the church, you know, but sometimes, you know, gotta have that testimonial, that opportunity to discuss those things. So, good. Well, hey, let's move right on. The conversation. So, how does this work? Now you know your evangelism style. You've been serving. You're building relationships with people. You're inviting people to events, right? How many of you guys, the confrontational one was yours? Anybody? Confrontational. Okay? Like, let's just get down. We're not going to mess with, like, all the frou-frou right now. Let's get down. We don't have time. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. People get ready. Soon we'll be going home. Right? That's you. You're like, you better get, you know, straight or get left. Get right or get left. Listen, some people just need, whoa, go down that road. Some people just need that, you know, just give it to me straight. And some of you guys, serving was your thing. Like, you just like to serve. Awesome. Any invitational? You like to invite people. Like, give an event, invite them, okay? Those are all important. But guys, at the end of the day, like, you have to have a conversation. Like, you're serving and your invitation and, like, even the confrontational needs to lead to a conversation about Jesus is always a great answer. Like, you can, is Jesus for any answer, I mean, you're just good, right? What do you want to have? Never mind. So the conversation, number one, be yourself. Be yourself. What is that from? Aladdin. Be yourself. Be real. Be real. Be real. You know, some of you, you start sharing your faith. You ever had that friend that starts sharing their faith and like they're all cool and we're just having a conversation and then when it slips over to Jesus, it's like they go into preacher mode? Like, thus saith the Lord. Let me read from my King James Version. You know, it's like they totally change, and you're like, what just happened? Like, you just went bipolar on me. Schizophrenia, what's wrong with you? Listen, just be yourself, okay? Be real, be a good listener. Listen to them talk. Let people share their story, right? So many times when I'm having conversations with people, like, God will show me the door to walk through if I'll just listen. If I'll just listen. Let me tell you a quick story. There's a little shop in Nacogdoches that does what is it when you like sew things? Seamstress. Thank you, a seamstress. So like I go in there and I'm having something worked on. Not for me personally, but I do live with four women. So there was something that was being worked on, and I just struck up a conversation, and we're talking about things. We're talking about life. Where are you from? You have an accent. You're from this part of the country. Wow, that's amazing. Hey, I'm Polish. You know, I have ancestors from blah, blah, blah. And so one thing leads to another, to another, to another, and I'm sitting there, listen to me, the whole time I am praying. Oh, let me help you. Let me help you guys. as you're having conversations with people, be praying in the moment. Paul says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Be praying, God, if there's an opportunity for me to speak into this person's life, don't let me miss it. And sure enough, I'm talking and I'm saying, God, I don't want to make a fool of myself. I don't want to force something on this lady. I don't want to be like the, you know, linebacker evangelist that comes in and just blows her up, right? Like, but I want a divine opportunity to speak into this lady's life if you'll open a door, but I'm not going to kick one open. If I'm just building a relationship, then I'm just building a relationship, and I'm fine with that. But God, let me be obedient. And all of a sudden, the conversation turns, and we begin to talk about her past in churches and how she just has doubt, and how do I get rid of doubt? And like one thing leads to another, and I get an opportunity to pray for her. Like I said, can I pray for you? And she says, yeah, and I'm praying for her. And I sat there and I prayed for her. I prayed the fact that, hey, there's doubt in her life, God, and help that doubt to be removed. I can't remove that, God, but you can. You can show yourself real in her life. And I'm praying, and I'm just, you know, I get passionate sometimes. And so I'm praying passionately, and I'm thinking, God, I hope nobody else is in this place right now. And like, I'm praying passionate, and I look up, y'all, and she is bawling. And I just know in that moment, the Spirit of God is moving in her life. She said, where do you go to church? I said, you know what? We're starting a church here in Nacogdoches. Well, I'll come. Listen, if you'll pray in the moment and you'll be asking God to open a door, how many of you guys know that God's going to do that? He wants you to share your faith. He wants you to share Jesus more than you want to share Jesus. And if you'll be in that moment praying, God, help me to say the right thing at the right moment. But God, shut my mouth if this is not the time. I want to say the right thing. God will help you do that. Be yourself. Number two, do not pretend to have all of the answers. It's okay to say, man, I don't know. I don't know. I really have no idea. Well, how do you feel? I always get this question. Well, how do you feel about predestination? Well, I don't know. I'm glad to know Jesus, you know? And I hope everybody gets to know Jesus. I think he's the greatest thing ever. Let's let God figure those things out, you know? Let's put our faith and trust in Jesus, and then when we get up to heaven, let him sort it out, you know? Sometimes it's okay just to say, I don't know. Well, how do you feel about Revelation? Well, it's a crazy book at the end of the Bible. It's fun to read. I don't know anything, you know, I don't know all the details about it, you know. Where are we at in all the judgment? Man, I don't know. I don't know, but where are you with Jesus right now? You know, I think sometimes we get so caught up in, man, I just don't have all the answers. And it's okay if you don't have all the answers. But if you can tell somebody about the love of Jesus, that's a good start. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, tell somebody about Jesus. That's number three. Lift up the name. Lift up the name of Jesus. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. John chapter 12, verse 32, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. Here's the awesome thing. If we will lift up Jesus in our lives, he will draw people to himself. No one comes to the Father but by the Spirit who draws them. If I'll lift Jesus up, if I'll declare Jesus in my life, in my workplace, in my neighborhood, in my family, he's going to draw them. But let's do a really good job of not repelling them, okay? Let's do a really good job of not slamming the door in their face as they come. Man, I've been there. I've done that. Anybody else? Like the invitation is given, and man, I blow it. I totally blow it. And let's pray for discernment in that. So the conversation, man, let the conversation lead to Christ, and God will do it. The invitation, number one, be bold. Be bold. The invitation tends to be more awkward than even witnessing. Do not get caught up in the moment. Just come right out and ask them if they've ever asked Jesus into their heart. Listen, there has to be a point when the conversation has gone as far as it's going to go. There reaches a point where you'll know. Can I just ask you a question? Man, have you put your faith in Jesus? You know, at the end of the day, can you say that you really, truly rely on Christ for salvation? many of those conversations, like, where, you know, I've asked people, man, if you die today, man, what does eternity look like for you? Man, I don't have any idea. Well, can I tell you, like I have an assurance, and I want you to have the same assurance. And let me tell you how I know that assurance is I put my faith in Jesus, and he says that if I would confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, raised from the dead, like I'm saved. And like I can be assured in my heart that, man, when I die from this place, that he's preparing a place for me. So there comes a point where you've got to be bold and like declare who Jesus is. Number two, keep the basic message. Keep the basic message. Maybe right over there in the margins, Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, it's pretty basic. It's pretty basic. We believe that Jesus came, he lived a perfect life, he died a sinner's death, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, he was resurrected from the dead. And because he lives, I can live also. Keep the basic message. Let's just start there, you know? Let's just start there. Jesus lived, he died, he was buried, he was risen from the dead. He's the Son of God. He can forgive us and cleanse us of our sins. He can make us a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Back to that testimony, like something new has begun in me. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Keep the basic message. Number three, ask them if they want to ask Jesus into their heart. This is the key to it all. You must bring in the net. It's such a cool experience. Can I just, I know this may be a little bit awkward for people, but could we just for a moment, have you had the opportunity to lead somebody to Jesus? Like you've had that conversation, you've walked them. Okay, listen, it's okay if you haven't had the opportunity, there's no guilt or shame here. But can I tell you, it's like the coolest thing in the entire world to walk somebody into a relationship with Christ. For you to get to a point where you've spent energy and time in a relationship and like you've shared things with them and you've prayed with them, then you finally get the boldness to say, JR, man, do you know Jesus? Yeah, I don't think I do. Would you like to know him? Because I'd love to pray with you. And like pray with them and say, in your own words, you might say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Like I'm a poor Savior and you're like the best Savior and I just want you to come and save me. I believe that you are who you say you are and you did what you said you did and I invite you to come into my life and I'm asking you to help me to live my life for you. And when you pray that with them and they say amen, like this thing, and you can be able to say to them, listen, you may not feel anything in this moment, but the Bible says something miraculous has happened. Your name's been written in this book. It's called the Book of Life up in heaven. And like this whole new journey has begun, and you're not on your own anymore. Like the Holy Spirit is going to come, and he's going to help you, and he's going to walk alongside you. And the cool thing is, as I'm right here, and I'm a resource to you, I'm going to walk alongside you too. It's an amazing thing. Put it on your bucket list for this year. I want to lead somebody to Jesus. I want to lead somebody to Jesus. Man, let's get to heaven and let's know that we've led people to the Lord. Amen? And lead somebody to Jesus. So ask them if they want to ask Jesus into their heart. Would you like to ask Jesus into your heart? And if you have more questions about that, man, come and see me. Let's have a discussion about that. It's not a simple thing. It's not an easy thing, but it is something that each and every one of us can do, and we've been gifted the Holy Spirit to give us boldness to do, okay? So you can do this thing. Number four, once they have received Christ into their heart, share the three-legged stool with them. Like, at the end of class, we're not actually giving you a three-legged stool for, like, you to share with them. But the idea of this three-legged stool, each leg is vital for the stool to stand. These are three things, and I tell people all the time, listen, once a person has invited Jesus into their life, then I'll say this. I'll say three things. How do you make this decision last? Like, how do we make sure this thing, like, doesn't just end today, right? Well, you need to read your Bible. Okay, start in the book of John. Start in the book of John. That's a great place. John 3:16 is like one of the most known verses. It's like any WWE wrestling matches, you know, some guys up there with John 3:16, you know, at football games, at sporting events and stuff. So, like, read the book of John. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. So read your Bible. The second leg of it is pray. Pray daily. Like, I don't know how to pray. You know, I don't know how to say all those eloquent things. That's okay. Just pray. You know what a great prayer is? Jesus, help me. God, help me. Your kids are driving you crazy. God, help me. Your spouse. Jesus, help me. Help me, Jesus. Come on, girl. That's exactly right. Help me, Jesus. You're in the middle of traffic, and man, I about died 2 days ago. I had those logging trucks. One guy came right out in front of me. I almost had a log sticking in my eye. That's a biblical reference. Patach. Anyways, like, help me, Jesus. This is a great prayer, and you should pray every day. You know, and in Sunday services, we talk about, you know what? Prayer should begin with thanksgiving. God, thank you that I didn't kill my kids today. God, thank you that I didn't burn my house down today. God, thank you, you know, that I didn't kill my boss today. Thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessing in my life. And then I want to ask you for. That's a great way to pray. God, I thank you, and I got something to ask you, you know? So pray every day. And number three, get plugged into church. Get plugged into church. Get involved in church. Use your gifts in church. If you don't know what I'm talking about, here's Bonnie over here. Starting Point. Sign up for Starting Point. How many of you guys have been through Starting Point? Woo whoop! Come on, Starting Point, man. That's where it's at. That's where the party is. Get involved in Starting Point. Find your gift. Find your place and serve. Guys, if we'll encourage people not just to attend, don't be just a pew sitter, but get involved and serve. I'm going way too long. Number five, if they do not want to ask Jesus into their heart, simply invite them to church. Hey, that's okay. What if they say no? Yeah, I'm not sure right now. Man, that's totally cool. Can I pray for you? That's all right. I'll pray. Most people will not, they don't turn down prayer. Like, I prayed for a lot of people, you know? And that's okay. It's okay if they don't accept Jesus right away. Pray for them and then come back and witness to them again. I'm telling you, many times that door will open itself again. It's an amazing thing. Simply invite them to church. When someone rejects the invitation, do not be discouraged. They're rejecting Jesus, not you. You have sown a seed. Every single time you're sowing seed, you're investing in them. Number six, if they have already asked Jesus into their heart, they say, yeah, you know what, I did that a long time ago, or yeah, you know, I'm saved. Jesus is Lord of my life. Ask if there's anything personal that you can be praying for them about. Ask them if they have any personal needs. Invite them to church. Give them a church invite card. Never leave them empty-handed. I think it's always cool to pray for people. I pray for people all the time. I do, like in public places, if I see people that are struggling or whatever, man, I just want to pray. Can I pray for you? I know, it sounds weird, but people, like, they're like, sure. They like, they invite that stuff. They like that stuff. So, like, it's okay. Pray for people. If they receive the Lord for the first time or if they rededicate their lives to him, be sure to follow up with them. Follow up with them. Hey, man, we had a great conversation the other day, and you invited Jesus to come into your heart. Man, I just want to, how are you feeling today? Discouraged? Man, I get that. I get that. Man, sometimes it's discouraging. Can I help you? This is a scripture that helps me, you know? And just follow up and walk alongside people and help make sure that they're taking what? Next steps. Come on, y'all. Help people take next steps. Even if their next step isn't here at Timber Creek Church, let's just help them take next steps. Okay, always remember, we're closing up. Always remember, the method or style you use to witness will never be more important than the message you are bringing. Your method of evangelism is just the vehicle. It's really all about Jesus. It's really all about Jesus. Why do we serve people? Because, man, I want them to know Jesus. You know? Why am I building relationships with people? Because I want them to know Jesus. Many times in my past, I don't have time to share my whole story tonight, but like, I just determined over the years that one of the things I could do like an easy thing to do is like be a good neighbor. Like a good neighbor. You know what? Be a good neighbor, right? Like know your neighbors. And so I've determined over the years, and I can look back over the years and see how God has used that. Bob and Carolyn lived right next door to me. Bob and Carolyn were 80-some years old. Bob played golf multiple times a week. You know, Carolyn smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day or something. A lot. Lovely people. As I got to know them, Bob was having health issues. He ended up getting some cancer on his lung, had part of his lung removed. Guys, I got to stand in his garage and lay hands on him and pray for him. Multiple times I got to do that and pray for Bob and Carolyn. Why? Because I had a relationship with them. And when I knew stuff was going on in their life, guys, we all go through tragic things, right? And there you are, the neighbor who's there to comfort and encourage. You know, we go through celebrations. Your neighbor, they just had a baby. Man, who should be the first one to bring over a pie or a cookie or something? You should. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. That's not just people in the church. Someone say amen. Come on. Like, know the people and know their needs and know what's going on in their lives. Before we moved here to Texas in Kansas, I lived on a cul-de-sac. And we would have Halloween parties. I know. Don't throw rocks at me. But we would call it Light the Night, and we would throw up an inflatable in my driveway, and I'd have my barbecue cooker out, and we would do all kinds of stuff, and I would have hundreds of people in the neighborhood come by my house. Then I'd pray with them in the driveway, and I'd encourage them. And over time, I built relationships with the people in my driveway. There was a guy named Mike that lived right across the street from me. Mike, alcoholic, had all kinds of issues. I began a relationship with him. I'd come over in the evenings. He'd be sitting in his lawn chair. Him and another buddy would be drinking alcoholic beverages, and I'd come over with my cup of coffee. Okay? And I would have I'd just talk with them, and I'd talk with them about God. And before I knew it, I was into a relationship with him where Mike was saying, you know what? The drinking in my life is out of control. What do I do? And so now I say, hey, I've got a Bible, and I'd love to come over on a regular basis, and let's just go through this thing together. Let's ask Jesus to help us with that. Okay? Built through relationship. And you say, well, that's not me. Listen, it can be just knowing people's needs and just being there to ask what their needs are and be perceptive about what's going on in their lives. People need to know that you care. Amen? And people need to know that if you care, then God cares. And if God cares, then he can do something incredible in their lives, and he can use you as the avenue and as the tool. Your style of witnessing is unique. Let God develop it through you wherever you go. Your personality is unique. God has put you in a particular place for a particular reason to reach a particular people. Okay? Let God use your uniqueness. Number 3, never take an opportunity for granted. Simply share your story. And Taylor, you're coming to close. Is that right? Okay. Never take an opportunity for granted. Simply share your story. Simply share your story. See how many times this week you can share your story. And the last thing, make witnessing a lifestyle. The more you witness, the more opportunities to witness you will see. Make witnessing a life. It's not an event. It's like, well, I would witness if our church would have like an outreach, a witnessing outreach opportunity, then I would do that. If it's a lifestyle for you, like you just looking and praying all the time for opportunities to share Jesus, to invite people to church, guys, the opportunities come out of the woodwork. Why? Because as you're lifting Jesus up, he's drawing people to himself. Amen? Was this good tonight? Was this okay?
I'm going to say something real quick, but I'm going to have Pastor Dan pray over you guys tonight. That was an amazing message. He hit the nail on the head, so this won't take me long. Pastor Talia, same message that was on Pastor Dan's heart tonight to share all this is also on Pastor Talia's heart, who is sharing things in Grow Too. But she wanted me to share this scripture with you guys out of Matthew 28, 19 through 20. And it's Jesus, the Great Commission, commissioning his disciples to go out and make disciples, to go out and to witness for him. And I just want to read that to you guys tonight. It says, Jesus came up and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Help the people to learn of me. Believe in me and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. And so even to the end of the age, I just wanted to share that with you guys, and really, it can be a hard, Pastor Dan, you touched on so many points, but I know even for myself, it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to step out and to do it because you feel like I don't have it in me. I don't have what it takes to do it, to step out and to witness or share your story. And I just want to tell you guys, the same spirit that lives in you is the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That same spirit is in you. So don't think in your mind, I don't have what it takes. I don't know what to say. I don't know what all the scriptures say. I don't have all the answers. You don't have to. Share your story. Step out. Be filled. The Holy Spirit will be with you. Jesus will be with you. He says, lo, I am with you always. He's right there with you. He's going to give you the courage and the boldness and the faith to step out and be a witness. I don't care if you got saved last week or you've been saved for 60 years. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit in you, living in you. Okay? So I want Pastor Dan to pray over you guys and kind of give you guys the same commission that Jesus gave to the disciples, because he's giving that same commission to us today. We are still the church. And until he returns, we are still to go out into the world and to bring people into the kingdom. Right? So Pastor Dan, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Awesome. Acts chapter 2, you can go read it later, but there's a moment where Jesus has ascended to the Father, and the disciples are up in the upper room. They're waiting for the Holy Spirit. He says, wait for the Spirit who's going to come. He's going to baptize you in fire. And they were filled with boldness to be witnesses. They were filled with the Spirit to be bold in their witness. And so this is how we're going to close tonight. If you want to be filled with the Spirit and bold to be a witness for Jesus, I want you to stand up and I'm pray for you on the count of three. One, two, three. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be bold to be a witness. I want to be bold to be a witness. I want to share my faith. I want to share my faith. Lord Jesus, God, we don't take it lightly. We're not inviting people to become members of a church. We're not inviting people just to be pew sitters. We're not inviting people just to dress up and come in on a Sunday morning to be entertained. We are inviting people to know the living God through Jesus Christ. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus, you would baptize us with your Spirit, God, that we would be bold in our witness. God, you need people in this world to declare unashamedly that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. God, you need your church to be on mission each and every day. God, we need your help in our workplaces, in our schools, God, in our neighborhoods, in the grocery store, as we're standing in there in the line that's way too long at Walmart because there's not enough cashiers. Glory to God. We're standing there with our groceries. Our ice cream is melting at the bottom of the basket. Our kids are out of control. God, we're losing our temper, but yet there's a person in front of us that's dead inside that needs to know that Jesus loves them. Fill us, oh God, with your boldness that we could share our faith with them, oh God. In the grocery store, Lord, along the road, Lord, as we're walking, God, in our lives, we need the Spirit of God to move in and through us. God, there is not enough time. Lord, we need to share our faith. We need to share our hope, Lord, with those that are without it. God, I pray in Jesus' name, and I commission this group of people. Lord, they've invested their time over these past weeks, God, digging into your word, and now we are being commissioned to go forward and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to follow in your ways. I commission them in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, our Savior. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now go make disciples.